Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Much like it is very difficult to drive on I-10 to literally anywhere, it was very difficult for Rory McIlroy to win himself a major. But guess what, guys? That's exactly what he did for the first time in 11 years. He completes the Golf Grand Slam yesterday by winning the Masters, hanging on to win the Masters, which he did almost give away to Justin Rose. It is his first green jacket. We were talking about it earlier. I did feel like it was a moment for me of reflection where I realized, man, I'm just rooting against this guy, and perhaps I need to be a little less like that and more like someone who's rooting for others to succeed. Maybe I need to be wired a little bit more like that. As far as the Rockets are concerned, for those who don't know, tomorrow night, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors are going to play one another in the 7-8 game for the play-in tournament. Whoever wins that game plays the Rockets. If I had to pick between those two teams who I'd want to face, I'd want to play Memphis. But I do think that the Warriors are going to be the team that ends up winning. I think the Rockets match up pretty well with Golden State this time around. But there's definitely an element of, hey, this is a Warriors team that, like him or hate him, does have Draymond Green. Like him or hate him, does have Jimmy Butler. What version of those two players are these guys at this point in their career? They're still competent, that's at the very least. And then, of course, you got Steph Curry, who, yeah, the Rockets held to 3 points last time around, but he's scary. He's Steph Curry. I think he's one of the best players that's ever played the game. I feel like he doesn't get enough credit, in fact, as being even in that conversation. You know, people put Kobe in that conversation. They don't put Steph in that conversation. I get it. He's a shooter, and maybe Kobe's doing more things, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. Can we put Steph in that conversation? I know this city hates Steph Curry, too, so there's a little bit of that. I am curious to see how things go for the Rockets, but we are seeing some pretty big changes in the NBA today. And I am wondering when's the next organization in Houston sports that's going to be going through this. The Phoenix Suns, who the Rockets have the lottery pick of, fired their coach, Mike Budenholzer, after just 1 year. They say change was needed. Oh, you think? You think change was needed? But he's gone after a 36-46 season, despite having Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They're the third team in NBA history, the Suns, to start 8-1 or better and miss the playoffs. In March and April, they lost 8 straight games, all by double digits, the most consecutive losses by 10-plus points in franchise history. So that's why Mike Budenholzer's out. We, of course, saw last week Mike Malone and Denver's general manager out. And the New Orleans Pelicans have fired their general manager as well. So people are getting got today. And just a thought, when I see all these news, all these updates on the ticker, I'm wondering who the next person to get got in Houston sports is. Who's the next person to get got? Things are going pretty well. I mean, if you're looking at anybody, are you pointing at someone on the Astros? Do you think Joe Espada is going to get got after 2 seasons? I don't know. Only if the Astros have a disastrous season. I don't think Dana Brown's in any danger. I feel like Dana's actually done a pretty good job since taking over. I just think he's got to watch what he says. He's a little bit too politician-y. At times when he speaks, he overpromises and doesn't always deliver on those. So I would say probably one of those two are the most likely one to be gone. I don't think D'Amico Ryans is in any danger of getting gone anytime soon. I guess really the only way would, if for Ime Udoka and the Rockets too would be if the Rockets brought in some sort of superstar player and that superstar player hates Ime Udoka. Like after a couple of weeks, just we learn that they hate each other or something like that. Because I just don't see that happening. I feel like a lot of people across the NBA really like Ime Udoka.
Yeah, at least out of the stars that we've heard of that he's coached before, the ex-76ers, the ex-Brooklyn Nets, like Harden, Durant, even Kyrie, like they all generally have really awesome things to say about him. So it is funny that he has a reputation and is – actually, he doesn't have a reputation. He just is a very coach that's very demanding of his players. And at the same time, all the players like respond well to it.
Yeah.
Like even the Celtics guys. I forgot about the Celtics guys. Like none of those guys really like have anything bad to say about
him. No. I think they all liked him. And the problem was, of course, Ime Udoka did some stuff. Well, and that's why he's now the Rockets head coach.
I get why certain people in the Boston organizations or husbands don't like him.
Yeah, yeah. I get that.
But I think the Astros are the place to look for this. And I think it's less so about, like, even the job that they're doing because baseball manager – I mean, I always just put a baseball manager up there just because, like, I don't really know what you do here, like, on a day-to-day. It seems like most of their job is to kind of, hey, keep the clubhouse even keel, keep it moving well.
And you fire him like he's Scott Service if things aren't going so well, hoping for a spark. But, yeah, that's probably accurate.
And then second, I would also have Dana just – less about anything Dana Brown's doing and more about who he reports to.
Right, exactly.
As his boss. Just Jim Crane. Jim Crane let a guy walk after winning a World Series.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Crane will fire you if he doesn't like what you're doing. If there's ever a deadline where Crane wants to go all in, and especially because this is what happened, click, where he wants one specific guy and you go, no, not really seeing it with this guy. Probably not going to prioritize that, or just can't make a trade happen. Like that's what pissed off Crane about James Click. So I think Crane. It's the Astros guys, but it's more a reflection on who their boss is than anything they're doing.
Because
you said, all these teams are going well. I can't see any of the Texans. I guess it's the NFL. So like you're what, a season and a half away from being like on the hot seat.
But it's, you know, with D'Amico, I just have such a hard time believing that the Texans would look at D'Amico in a way where he would ever be in danger.
And it would have to be Gary Kubiak losing 14 straight games. Like, it would have to be, like, so bad that you fire him.
Even then, though, I mean, Gary Kubiak had a lot of lives, cat lives when he should have been canned before the 2011 season where they finally made the playoffs.
Yes.
He should have. He didn't do a very good job. He did well in 2011. Like he did a hell of a job that season. That team was quarterbackless. And, I mean, they still held their own on the road against the Ravens down to their third-string rookie quarterback, who was a late draft pick, against Baltimore in that game. I mean, they had a chance. It was just T.J. Yates. That was the worst game he's ever played. He had a lot of bad throws in that one.
Three interceptions?
Three, yeah. And, I mean, the Texans got the ball back like twice in the last 2 minutes.
The last interception was like driving with a chance. So.
75 Corchester says D'Amico's the only person that can fire D'Amico. Right. I mean, he'd have to make some sort of just egregious, perhaps Ime Udoka-esque mistake for things to happen.
He wouldn't.
But seriously, though, I don't think he would. I don't know.
So you would say, would you say Casario's more fireable than D'Amico?
Yeah, I would think so. But I think Casario's done a really good job to this point, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Rockets guys, especially like right now, like it's possible.
Oh, no way. Yeah. They are. That Rafael Stone has incredible amounts of job security right now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild to think of.
You could say that like his, 4 years on the job are better than the last 4 years of Daryl Morey on the job. Like,
yeah.
He's better. And Morey was a guy that when he left, was pretty unanimously. He's
everyone
polarizing.
Loved him.
But I was going to say, he's viewed as, like, at that time, like a top five GM in basketball. And maybe not by everybody.
But people were mad that he left. And they're like, oh, he like clearly like just...
He resigned to spend more time with his family.
Right.
And then took the Philadelphia 76ers job like a week later.
His image has certainly taken a bit of a beating over the last couple of years. People don't look at him with the same amount of respect.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think with Daryl Morey, You know, on the way out, yeah, you could definitely say
he got destroyed on the Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook trade.
Yeah,
and was that something that he like had to do to appease James Harden?
He did feel
yes,
away.
But still, that was a terrible trade. And Rafael Stone's basically knocked out of the park with mostly everything. Not 100% batting average, but he's been doing a great job. There's not like a huge like. Oh my God! What was this move?
Everything so post far. Kevin, yeah, because okay, Fred VanVleet, but you're a bad team. You have to spend that much money on Fred VanVleet. Dylan Brooks, that's a lot, but yeah,
he's one of your better players,
right? Exactly,
he's the best shooter on your team.
Those two moves are like okay, but everything post Kevin Porter Jr. and his obsession with him has been pretty damn good.
Yeah,
you know?
Even before that, like the draft, getting
rid of Christian Wood too. Like once they got rid of the knuckleheads and eventually moved on from Steven Salas as well. Like I can't really point at something that I say, oh, this is bad. Like I know there's some people out there that have been like, well, Reed Shepard couldn't even get on the court. Well, look at what he's done when he's gotten on the court recently. You know, and I get it's the end of the year, but this is the two seed in the West. Like that's the reason that he's not playing that much this year. He's got to bulk up a little bit.
Yeah, and. In general, like it just like Scoot Henderson played on a bad Portland team and was stunk it up his rookie year, getting all the time in the world. And it took until like halfway through this year before he started producing for them. And that's with a ton of runway on a team that's not going anywhere anytime soon. And then you look at Reed Shepard on, like you said, the two seed in the West. Like, yeah, he's going to have a short leash, especially with someone like Ime. So, yeah, none of the draft picks, I think, are really – I mean – you could say Jalen Green being picked one pick ahead of Evan Mobley now doesn't look great. But even then, like, I don't think that's like some disaster zone of a pick. And yeah, I think the Rockets are the most, well, I think Ryan's number one, just as most safe among all the teams. Ryan's number one, the Rockets guys in some order, two and three.
Yeah.
Probably Udoka, then Stone, but maybe Stone, then Udoka. Then Casario, and then, I don't know, Espada and Brown in some order. Probably Brown, then Espada.
I think
Espada is the easiest guy to fire. Yeah.
By far, right. And again, there's the assistant coaches and all that. But, and you know, you saw Bobby Slowick get got with the Texans. It's not like they don't do any firing there. But, yeah, as far as job security, this city's got some pretty good sports job security.
Kelvin Sampson, literally lifetime contract.
Sampson can do whatever he wants.
Lifetime contract, and his son gets to be the...
he's the heir, right?
The coach in waiting.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny. We totally forgot about that. I guess for the Dynamo and the Roughnecks, probably a little less.
There's less security in the UFL just for everybody. For the entire league, less job security. But, I think Dynamo, just like MLS, they go through coaches a lot faster. And
honestly,
Willie Fritz has pretty good job security outside.
Oh, I think so. I like what we saw to open up this year. Yeah. Anyway, guys, there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mabes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call into text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Rory McIlroy won the Masters. The Rockets are waiting to see what happens tomorrow night between the Grizzlies and the Warriors. And the Astros took 2 of 3 against... what team did they play? How am I forgetting the team that they played already?
Angels.
The Angels. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That's right. Of California. Of the United States of America. Formerly of... well, no, currently of North America. Formerly of Pangaea. Of planet Earth. Of the solar system of the Milky Way galaxy. Correct. Anyway, Paul Gallacho, stay put.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We're closer and closer to the NFL draft. You can also join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I am curious as to what the Texans end up doing in the draft. They'll make any moves up, down on the draft board, but we will be doing what we did last year, which was we're going to write down a couple of positions we know the Texans need to make, and then we're going to go to Lance Zierlein's write-ups, and we're going to try to find the most sexual language we can in Lance's write-ups, and we're going to determine who we want on our Houston Texans draft big board entirely based off of the language written about those guys. So we'll, of course, be looking at wide receivers, offensive linemen. I am really going into this thing looking at the offensive line and thinking to myself, get somebody. And at the wide receiver position, saying the exact same thing. It would be nice if they get somebody. But I've also said before, I wouldn't be mad if they draft a defensive player. I know some would. But I do think that the Texans have a pretty good track record when it comes to drafting guys like that. So there you go on that front. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Last segment we were talking about, you know, given that there's some bodies being dropped in the NBA with organizations shaking things up with the regular season now over, we were asking who's going to be the next leader of a sports franchise in H-Town that gets got, because everyone seems to have pretty good job security. Joe Spott is probably number one. From the 281, Jeff Bagwell, or John Cornato when he falls off the Lent wagon. Hey, that last part, I don't even know what that means. The Lent wagon? What is that, eating meat on a Friday?
Oh, he also drinks, or he gives up drinking during Lent.
What?
Yeah, no Coors Lights for 40 days and 40 nights.
No way.
That's what he says he does. I'm not sitting there watching him. That's
I'm impressed.
The man upstairs.
I'm impressed. 40 days is a long time for me. The last time that I went that long was in right after I turned 30.
Oh, okay.
Right after I had a very fun 30th birthday party. So 6 years ago, after that, I didn't drink for about 40 to 50 days afterwards, just because it wasn't like I was concerned or anything like that. It was just, nope, I'm just going to stop for a little bit.
Yeah, but that's what he does basically every year.
Damn. I couldn't do that every year. I couldn't do that every year. In fact, I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, I used to do 1 month off just to say, like, yeah, I could take a month off. But now I'm like, nah. It's not because I have a problem. Stop laughing. I don't have a problem. I just don't want to give it up for a month. That means I can't hang out with my friends and stuff. Would probably help with the wallet a little bit. Would help me out with the saving side
of things. Save a couple bucks.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely would save a buck or two. Because, yeah, this weekend I definitely spent a little bit too much. A little bit too much.
Yeah, it's your birthday.
It was my birthday.
You only
turned
36 once.
That's true. You only turned 36 once. My DJ Swearinger year.
I like that.
Old Jungle Boy swag.
Hopefully you'll bring the Jungle Boy swag to all of 25 and 3 months of 26.
Right. Hopefully my car doesn't get repoed and I have to steal it back. Or
no. Your friend gets bit by a dog.
Friend gets bit by a pit bull. Right. Yeah, I don't want that to happen. But yeah, we're reflective. We're learning things. And one of the things that I learned is that I perhaps need to chill when it comes to being petty and rooting for the failures of people in sports. Maybe I need to grow. I'm wondering who else could I perhaps find this kind of growth with. Could I find it with LeBron and the Lakers?
You got to – no. Possible second-round matchup for the Rockets?
Yeah, there's that. And I mean – but here's the thing. How about this? Instead of directing the majority of my ire at LeBron James, who I do think is one of the best basketball players I've ever seen, it is a tad insufferable whenever he talks. I think I can say this, and this is a huge moment for me, in a moment of grace. I like LeBron more than I like Luka Doncic.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Significantly.
Yeah,
more.
I was going to say, Luka, I feel
Luka's
like is in your crosshairs.
Luka's my new number one. As far as, like, you know, he's overtaking Rory McIlroy, too. I saw Rory McIlroy win yesterday. And
there should be a jacket that he puts on him. Like like the Masters, Rory McIlroy putting this size 40-something jacket on Luka.
Mm, yeah, the jacket. And the jacket is just my face, like, angrily raging. It's like one of those. Yeah, it's like on the back. It's just me going, ah! Yeah, because Luka, I think, is of all the athletes in sports, like James Harden can't hurt me anymore, and I just don't think he really matters as much.
We were close. I mean, the last game of the season came down to the loser was going to likely play the Rockets, and it was the Warriors and the Clippers with James Harden.
Yeah, that's true. Would you have been concerned if you're a Rockets fan about the idea of losing a series to James Harden. I think it would affect some of the way that many Rockets fans still like James Harden.
Yeah, I wanted the Clippers. I definitely wanted the Clippers.
Is Kawhi going to play? I know he is playing.
He did play. He played 40-something minutes yesterday.
40?
Yeah.
All right.
Both teams went all out for that game. I think Harden played 48. Now, there was overtime, so he still had a five-minute break, but he played 48 minutes in a regular season game. Obviously, it was to avoid the play-in, so now he gets a week off. So that's kind of the math that they're doing there. But
and he's in L.A. but during playoff time. Uh-oh.
I don't know.
We don't want him to have this week off.
And then has to go to high elevation to play Denver.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but all the West series is super interesting. But
the West, this year in the West, I think it's one of the most interesting years in Western Conference history. I truly don't know who's going to win. I know Oklahoma City has the better record than everybody, but I don't look at San Antonio as leaps and bounds ahead of OKC. Anybody. Yeah. Right, OKC might be.
Yeah, OKC, in the regular season, they're definitely just, really what it is, their floor is so high that they can, just demolish bad teams.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, a series, they are susceptible to bad matchups, which is funny that one of them is the Denver Nuggets, who just fired their coach. But possible second-round matchup that you think this is probably the worst team for OKC to play, but at the same time, they seemingly are kind of falling apart at the seams at least a little bit. So it will be definitely interesting. It is nice to have a team that is so head shoulders better in the regular season that you're not so sure about in the playoffs. That if they play the Nuggets, you think the Nuggets have a chance? If they play the Lakers, you think the Lakers have a chance? If they play Minnesota, there's so many teams, the Clippers, there's so many teams in the West that all have the ability to think that, hey, if we get into a series with OKC, there's a really good chance that we win.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I put the Rockets. Rockets, it wouldn't be impossible to see them beating the OKC Thunder. Now, that would mean that they're in the Western Conference Finals, so I would have a hard time picking that, saying that they're going to make the finals.
What's tricky right now. And to what you were saying earlier in the show, I do think that the way they've handled the last couple of games, I am intrigued to see if they are able to shake that off. And I bet we will have some extreme overreactions to game one across the city.
They play on Sunday.
We're rusty with the playoffs, too. We're rusty with the playoffs. It's been a while. They could play poorly on Monday. I could come in, rah! Or it could be one of those games where they actually play really well, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm puffing my chest out there. We're going to go to
Minnesota.
And we're going to go to Denver, potentially, or whatever, Oklahoma City. All right. He is Sean Bates behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Playing tournament begins tomorrow. Hawks and Magic. I don't care. Grizzlies and Warriors. That's the game that determines who the Rockets play. And then on Wednesday, it's Miami and Chicago, Dallas and Sacramento. Can't believe just killed Dallas already.
There's really only one play-in scenario that's interesting. It's the West 7-8.
Yeah.
The other ones, I'm like, guys, just figure it out. I don't care.
I want Dallas gone. I want them to go on now.
It is just kind of sad. Them hanging around is just sad.
It's just
it's a bummer.
It's just waiting in a very slow-moving conveyor belt that's eventually going to lead to some death, meat pack.
It really is just a indictment of how bad the Phoenix Suns were.
Really?
That they couldn't overtake the carcass of the Dallas Mavericks for half the season.
I mean, that's why they fired, what's his face?
So Coach Bud, yeah.
Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay put.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Twitch wants a date update from the wedding and from the past weekend. No date. just hanging out with my friends. Come on, y'all. Come on now. I had a good weekend. I had a very good weekend. All right, guys. So Rory McIlroy wins the Masters. The Astros took 2 of 3 against the Cardinals. And on top of that, the Rockets just got to sit back and you got to wait. You got to wait for what will likely end up being the Golden State Warriors. And I'm wondering if they will be the threat that we know that they have been capable of in the past. I'm wondering. I feel like the uniforms definitely make you feel that this is the same team that we saw the Rockets miss all those threes in a row against, and of course lose so many times in the playoffs to the Golden State. What is it? 3 times? 4 times? I mean, it is kind of like the Astros with the Yankees. The Warriors are that to the Rockets.
Yeah, it was 2015.
15, right.
2016 in the first round.
First round in 16,
yeah,
that's it.
But that was 1-8. Like, that one's not as...
That team sucked.
Yeah. Really, the biggest moment of that series was when Draymond Green randomly, like, body slammed. I forgot who he body slammed. It was Terrence Jones or someone. No, it was Michael Beasley. At the end of a game, and that was a flagrant foul, and he later was suspended in the finals that year because he had so many flagrant fouls over the course of the playoffs. And one of them came in like absolute garbage time against an 8 seed Rockets team. And they lost in 18.
Yep.
That's the 27 missed threes. And they lost in 19 when Kevin Durant got hurt in game like 2 of that series.
Yep.
And then in game 6 at home in the Toyota Center, Steph Curry was scoreless in the first half and then scored 30 points in the second half and sent the Rockets home.
And that was it.
And that was basically that was it for Chris Paul in the city of Houston.
But the end of the dynasty.
Whose dynasty?
Yeah, I know. I'm being sarcastic. The James Harden
winning
dynasty.
First round playoff series dynasty.
Yeah. I mean, look, they tried their best.
They were the closest in the West during that time.
It would be fitting to turn the page with a win over Golden State. It really would be.
But at the same, not to be Shawnee Raincloud, it also stink to lose to him again. To have two eras,
it'll wake up some old feelings for sure. I mean, I feel like even though the first Astros team that played the Yankees back in 2015, where it really was just Altuve and McCullers, like that. Those guys were, of course, in the 17 too. Those are the only guys left from that. But I felt like the Yankee fans hated us and were very jealous of us going all the way back to then. And clearly, I bet they still have that same kind of feeling of like, oh, man, like the Astros kind of own us. Like, we don't really want to play them. They didn't have to play them in these past playoffs.
They're definitely they were relieved. They had to have been relieved.
They will not win a World Series until they actually beat the Astros in the playoffs. But I feel like, yeah, the Rockets got to do this. This is not me saying I want it to be the Warriors. I do want it to be the Grizzlies. But I think it'll be the Warriors. And I'm really curious to know if that's in the back. But the hate that people felt for Steph Curry and his mouth guard to the point where they decided to stop a struggling independent business led by Steph Curry's wife, a barbecue joint here in Houston. I feel that energy will be back.
Yeah.
And I do hate it because I like Steph Curry a lot. I've liked Steph Curry since I first watched him in the NCAA tournament with Davidson back in, 2008? Like, I've always been a huge Steph Curry fan. But it's been annoying being here where everyone hates him so much. Like, earlier in the show, I said, I think Curry's one of the best basketball players ever. I think you have to say that. That's definitely up for debate. Like, well, is he top 10, is he top 20, top 30? But this person said, never say that about Curry again. No, we should, but no one wants to here because everyone hates him. They really don't like the guy.
Yeah, it's like indisputably true that he's one of the best players of all time.
And probably one of the biggest Houston sports villains of the last 10 years.
Yeah. Number one last 10 years.
Right.
Like,
unless it's T.Y. Hilton or some other random player that crushes the Texans in a game.
T.Y. Hilton, I mean, everyone else, though.
Derrick Henry.
Like, Derrick Henry's a good one. But those are both regular season losses that they pin on you. Even, like, the Astros with, I guess, like, the Nationals in 2019. But that was one series. Like, Howie Kendrick, it's like, that was one play that he made. That was one home run that he hit. I don't really know if there's, like, a consistent playoff Astro demon of this recent run. Obviously, like, Pujols before that. He's probably on. He's probably ahead of Pujols, honestly.
I don't know if Adolis Garcia has passed him. I think that the weird thing with the Rangers last year, it felt like all of the energy from the rivalry the year before. Did we feel it at all last season? It was weird. It was like the Rangers just didn't show up last season. Like, that's sort of how I felt.
They just took like a victory lap year.
Right. And I mean, obviously the Astros and Rangers played each other, but I don't even remember. And maybe this is me getting older, you know, 36 years old, all of a sudden forgetting things. But I didn't feel like there was that kind of back and forth at any point last year as far as like beef, almost fights.
No.
Adolis Garcia losing his mind.
All that was in 23.
Right. Yeah. It's weird. We just like forgot to do it. The Rangers did.
There might have been
defending champions very poorly.
There might have been a little bit. I don't know. But nothing that like immediately jumps to mind. But even then, Adolis Garcia, it's one playoff run. Like Steph Curry did it multiple years. Basically every time he played.
Yeah. Sean Martinez is bringing up Albert Pujols. Mike Trout is an Astros killer. Not anymore.
No.
Curse broken by that guy on the right field line on Saturday. Hell yeah to that guy.
He killed the Astros killer.
Mm-hmm. He killed him. And
also, I don't think Mike Trout a... I've always felt like he struggled against the Astros.
I think he 100% struggled against the Astros.
That might have just been the Angels always lost to him, but I thought that he struggled.
When I went up to Seattle, and Seattle doesn't grasp sarcasm particularly well, considering it's a city that thinks itself very educated, which I get, again, it's a beautiful place, and some of the people are nice. However, there were moments up there where I would, just as a bit, I would just talk about how Mike Trout sucks. But Mike Trout doesn't suck. However, if you take a look at Mike Trout's splits against the Astros, they are very pedestrian. And considering he's played against the Astros so much, it is kind of random that Mike Trout against the Astros is mediocre at best.
I mean, it is a little random. It's also like the Astros consistently had awesome starting pitching and a good bullpen. So there wasn't really like some bums for him to feast on. But you do expect him to be better than that. But yeah, I don't know. Did the Astros have one 2015 and on? Like, I don't know if they like have one.
Yeah.
Again, beyond like a one-off guy on the Nationals.
Solaire, maybe. I
mean, yeah,
that
Solaire.
The weekend, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually. Solaire might be the answer.
But
was he on? No, he was.
Garcia has always, Adolis Garcia has always owned the Astros.
Yeah.
Garcia has like.
He was
like,
good in the regular season, and then he had the playoffs. So yeah, Garcia's probably up there.
Even when the Rangers have sucked, Garcia's numbers against the Astros are pretty damn good.
Yeah. Garcia's a good one. Corey Seager? I don't know.
No.
But yeah, not really. I was thinking because he also was on the Dodgers, but
yeah.
I forgot if he was like that good on the Dodgers when they played in the World Series.
There's not one Dodger player that I think you looked at and you said, oh man.
Yeah, this guy. This guy's up.
Right. They didn't have that because they didn't have Mookie Betts yet when they played him in 17.
They didn't have Freeman.
Clayton Kershaw was still there, and you wanted Clayton Kershaw. And you Darvish was there, and you wanted you Darvish. Maybe Yuli wanted him a little too much. You know.
Heat of battle.
Other teammates in San
Diego. Now they are teammates. They're buddies.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, no, there's not really. Even like Kenley Jansen, like by the...
Oh, Kenley Jansen, I remember.
Yeah, by the end of the series, you're like, bring on Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen sucks. Yeah, that was my thought. Like once it began, everyone was like, yeah, this guy's so good.
Game five, I was just like, this guy stinks.
He's like, thank you. Throw him out there some more. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. I do think it's going to end up being Rockets Warriors, and I think Steph Curry, as far as villains, enemies of the Houston sports state, is close to the top, much like the Warriors are. If you can think of somebody else, have at it on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. TTV Effortless says Damian Lillard is up there. Curry clears all those guys. easily. I don't really have that much rage or anger over losing in six games to the Blazers.
In the first round of 2014. Right. Like, yeah.
Because that was the first Harden, Howard.
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons was still their team.
That was the first Howard year.
Right.
Thank you for including Chandler Parsons. But he was
the big three.
Yeah, he was the one.
He blew the shot.
Wow, that was like 11 years ago. Sean just walked in the room being like, what the hell is he doing?
Remember when the Rockets were going to get Chris Bosh and Chandler Parsons?
Yeah.
And then they got neither?
And then Parsons signed with Dallas at a nightclub in like Orlando.
Yep.
And then, honestly, and then Bosh went back to the Heat, and luckily for the Rockets, and unfortunately for Chris Bosh, like 6 months later, he had blood clots in his career. That could have gone poorly for the Rockets. Again, glad that Chris Bosh is okay, but kind of dodged a bullet there.
Yes, 100%.
Remember when Jeremy Lin got mad that they photoshopped Carmelo Anthony into a number 7 Rockets jersey?
Well, he was already on the team. I liked it.
Yeah, I was like, who cares, dude? You would have to change your number if Carmelo came.
Carmelo and Lin had beef.
Yeah, from the Knicks days.
I think like Melo was like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, Carmelo like got
one
hurt.
Good month in March.
Yeah, Carmelo got hurt. Jeremy Lin went off, and he was like, all right, dude, step aside. Melo time.
Sean behind the glass on Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We got garbage time coming up next. So Coachella's in progress. I just saw something incredible about Coachella that I need to share with you in garbage time, and I feel like it's getting undue hate. I'm not just talking about Braxton Berrios and Miss TikTok influencer Alex Earl, his lady. I'm talking about more things, guys. Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now is a good time. You got baseball on all the time. You have the Rockets about to start playing some meaningful games. And tomorrow you'll see some play-in action with the Warriors. But again, the Astros, do you think that their hot hitting will continue? Are you buying the dip on some of the guys that are struggling? Christian Walker. I feel like I've been thinking about buying the dip and have been buying the dip all season long, and I haven't actually hasn't been super successful for me because there's a bunch of hard lineouts for the most part. So instead, I'm riding the hot hand. I'm riding Cam Smith. Cam Smith, give me more than 1.5 hits plus runs, plus RBI. He's been an RBI machine this weekend, and I think it can continue as they play St. Louis. Give me Nolan Arenado, more than half a total base. It's a Nolan Arenado revenge game because I guess he didn't want to play for the Astros. I don't know. But I think he can get a single in tonight's game. And to top it off, I have Framber Valdez and Sonny Gray to combine for more than 12 strikeouts. Framber could do most of that hard work himself, and the Astros have been swinging and missing a lot recently. So you can follow my picks or you can make your own. Just download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN
97.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Rory McIlroy, Masters champion, almost blew it, but then he finally got his green jacket. He's a grand slammer of golf, that one. Also, if you want to weigh in on the Astros who play the St. Louis Cardinals for 3 games starting tonight, you can. Or if you have some thoughts about the Rockets, we're in a waiting pattern right now. Tomorrow, we're doing some homework. We're going to be watching the Warriors and Grizzlies. I do think the Warriors are going to end up winning that game, and it will likely be a Rockets-Warriors 2-seed versus 7-seed matchup in the first round of the playoffs. You want to get in on the most interactive sports talk show? You can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Enemies of the Houston sports state, someone texted in, the Astros training staff. Well, we'll see about Spencer Arrighetti's return. You know what? At this moment in time, I'm just going to give the Astros training staff the benefit of the doubt because it's a new year and a new me, Sean. It's a new year and a new me.
Why would you give anyone to give a benefit of the doubt to those guys?
I'm just trying different shoes on for size.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. This is 36-year-old Paul.
36-year-old Paul after one weekend that was a fun weekend. 36-year-old Paul is just living life and trying to be less petty and rooting against randos like Rory McIlroy because of where they were born.
And you're trying to be more understanding
of
how hard it is to be a doctor
and to be a
team doctor.
It's tough. You've been watching The Pit on Max.
God, those guys have it tough.
Right.
The Astros doctors have it way easier than the pit crew.
Oh yeah.
But still, I'm not sure. I need 12 months from the
12 months
from the Kyle Tucker fiasco to turn the page.
He broke his thumb. It's crazy that Spencer Arrighetti's thumb got broken by batting practice, but we'll see how quickly he's back. Also, Luis Garcia getting a second opinion on his elbow. Okay.
Yeah. Lance McCullers. Huh?
Second rehab start.
Went four innings?
Right.
That's good.
He's going to have another rehab start soon.
That's a win for the Astros training staff that he hasn't spontaneously combusted during rehab.
Right, you are, Sean. Right. So you got all that going on. And guess what? The Astros play the Cardinals with a chance to get back to 500 tonight. How about that?
Wow.
6:45, random first pitch time.
Yeah. Why not 7?
Why do games start at 6:45?
It's probably going to be a very dumb reason.
Yeah, why? Well, because the Guardians have the thing where, or is it Minnesota? I think Minnesota's probably due to the weather. But I think
they start like 3.
They start their games early this time of year. But I think that games in Cleveland start at 5:45. So it's like it's 6:45 Cleveland time, but I think like they're actually pretty early, and I think it's so that kids can watch the whole game or something like that.
Yeah.
Why do
that 15 minutes?
Why do St. Louis Cardinals games start at 6:45? It's a trend, yes, just to start games earlier and finish earlier.
But it's 15 minutes.
Yep.
That's not that you're not helping anybody.
This is very funny. The AI, when I just looked this up. Why does St. Louis Cardinals game start at 6:45? Cardinals game start at 6:45. It's a trend in Major League Baseball to start games earlier and finish earlier, especially on weekdays. This trend aims to provide a more family-friendly experience, particularly for families and children. The Redbirds, the nickname for the Cardinals, is a reference to the Cardinal Bird, which is red. The team name originated when a fan called the new uniforms a lovely shade of cardinal, and St. Louis Republic columnist Willie McHale adopted the term. That guy better get royalties for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Willie McHale.
And Google AI for that completely unnecessary
The Redbirds, a detail. Nickname for the Cardinals, is a reference to the cardinal bird.
I just
want to
know
red.
Why they play at 6:45. Yeah, that's all I need.
That's it. I know. I don't know. I just also think the Redbirds, a nickname for the Cardinals, is a reference to the cardinal bird, which is red.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thanks,
AI. Anyway, a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
A texter does bring up, well, it's more than just 15-10 minutes, because a lot of these games do start at 7:10.
Okay, so 25 minutes.
So it's 25. 25 is pretty good.
That's decent.
That makes sense.
In my head, I was thinking at least 30, but if it is 7:10, then yeah, that helps.
This show, this time slot of math, it's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah. I just think 7 o'clock when I think of games. Same thing with the Rockets, where it's like, actually, it's like 7:15.
Yeah, it's always 7:15.
Yeah.
But they always say 7 o'clock. It's actually kind of annoying.
It is annoying. You know, that's a basketball thing. They always start it late. Even like the finals, they start it late.
The NBA is not Tom Coughlin. I do not need to be at something 15 minutes ahead of time, okay? Like, you're not my boss.
Yeah, I don't need to hear in the playoffs, especially. I don't need to hear 15 minutes of Stephen A. Smith before I try to watch Rockets Warriors, all right?
People who go to Coachella, Sean, are getting crushed. Why?
Why?
They're getting crushed because they are getting tickets and they are like, doing them on payment plans. I don't see why this is getting crushed.
How much do they cost?
A lot. They're like a grand.
Yeah, I get. I mean, the people that go are like 25,
and the lodging also expensive. So yeah, I just saw a tweet that went viral. It's from Colin Rugg, and he's like dumping on people for going to Coachella, which I'd go just to try it out. I'm not the biggest music fan. If I went with some friends, I think it would be a good time. It would be nice to say like, yeah, I did it. Is it something I need to do? No, it's not. It's expensive. It's ridiculously expensive, in fact. But I look at this and I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait, we're dumping on people that they go to this? Like, isn't our country in a ton of debt? So like we're gonna judge kids that go to Coachella on a payment plan? Hey, aren't we like $50 trillion in debt as a country, and we're gonna give kids that go to Coachella crap?
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about?
Having to pay four installments of $300 or whatever? Like,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't get it. Like, everything's going to be gone anyway. Like, you know, the world probably ends. Oh, damn. It's sounding, you know what? I'm not sounding like I'm 36 anymore. I'm not sounding like I'm 36. I got to get back into that positive mindset, that happy place. My Happy Gilmore happy place with strong, independent woman Julie Bowen and the smaller fella who's dancing around. So there you go. Yep, it's been a weird show. We're alive.
On that note.
On that note, big thanks to Sean Mays behind the glass. Big thanks to our YouTubers, our Twitchers, our callers, and our texters, and everyone else who listens to this fine show. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.